Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Each week we'll recap and discuss a new episode.
So come join us and our amazing guests, from creators to cast to superfans, to chat about all things Avatarverse.
It's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
The Last Kids on Earth and their superhero alter egos are back in the latest installment of the graphic novel spinoff series, The Last Comics on Earth, Too Many Villains. Jack, June, Quint, and Dirk face their biggest challenge yet, creating the sequel to their hit graphic novel in a mad dash, puzzle-filled race across Apocalyptia to stop the biggest evil plan in history. Hey, you know what the creators of Last Comics on Earth's evil plan is? Make me and my kids love these books. Seriously, my younger kid is a huge fan of both the Last Kids series and the Last Comic series.
It's true.
And now I'm hooked too. The whole team has created a delightful cast of characters with some fantastic kid-friendly art throughout that will appeal to readers of all ages. Buy your copy of The Last Comics on Earth in stores today. You can also visit lastkidsonearth.com to learn more.
This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Now, let's cue the music.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club! I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
And we are coming to you live from a couple of places on the internet. We are live over on Crowdcast. We're live over on YouTube. Or maybe you're listening to this later on iTunes, Android, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, podcast.ly.
The radio.
Your couch. It's just emanating from your couch. I don't know, man. I don't know. Wherever you're listening to it, it's all good. We're very excited that you're here. Very excited you're tuning in. Justin.
I like the idea that you covered not having Pete say his name with just listing more podcast apps the way we're on. Because that's business right there.
That's Pete right
there. Pete,
of course.
Pete, of course, on his Pete Springa for the his yearly trip where he goes and discovers himself. Worried about it. We don't know what man we're going to come back with, and we will see soon. Very soon.
I'll tell you, he finally texted, and he was like, hey, have a good show, guys. Going to be back late tonight. And I immediately did what anybody would do to somebody who's had a relaxing time for the past couple of weeks, is email them several dates to schedule podcasts,
yes,
which I'm sure Pete was like, nice. Chill.
That's the Alex I know. My man. My man loves to sketch.
Yeah. The other thing my man loves is drinks. Drinks. Loves to have drinks. Or more specifically, I love the drinks that Brett Macris, our official CBC chef, likes to curate from us. He has gone back to curating drinks from the Gotham City Cocktail Book. And today's drink, which I think is very good, I'm very excited about this one, is called the Enduring Flame. Now, so this is made with orange bitters. I used blood orange bitters. I had those around.
I mixed blood with my orange bitters because I go hard, son.
Hey, happy Halloween. 4 orange peels, 2 ounces vodka, 1 ounce Grand Classico bitter liqueur, and 1 ounce of dry vermouth. The thing that I was a little confused about, and maybe we do need to ask Brett about this, is part of the instructions are you take the orange peel over the glass, use a match to light the oils and place the peel in the glass. I rubbed an orange peel over a match.
No.
No?
I can tell you this, and Brett is also saying this in the comments, but as a former bartender, when you ignite the spray of, it's like you squeeze the rind and you ignite the spray, it'll burst into a little flame, very cool presentationally. Oh. And it'll change the flavor of the oils coming out of the orange peel. So it has this like sort of almost burnt orange flavoring to it. It's really
good. When you're saying the rind, how much, not to get too in the weeds here, but how much?
No, this is a cocktail podcast and it always has been.
So I have these orange peels here, right, that I cut, like normal orange peels. I'm setting them on fire or no?
You don't light the actual peel itself on fire. You cut them a little thick, so you're getting a little bit more of the white.
Okay.
So you have a little bit of sort of tension in the peel so you can squeeze it. And the orange, it's like popping a pimple. Sorry to associate that with the drink we're having. But you squeeze it a little bit.
I always pop a good, nice good pimple in my drinks.
Yeah. You squeeze it so it sort of bursts the oil out into the air, and if you have a flame in front of it, it will ignite because you're aerosolizing this oil. I used to do a cocktail that we would do it over. It was like, I forget what it was. It was like a port wine cocktail with burnt orange zest over top of it.
Mm. All right. I'll have to try this one again. It's still pretty good, though, I got to say. Did you make an augmented version, or what did you do?
Of course. I did. I have a grapefruit-infused vodka that I make, and I use that here to give it a little bit of extra bitter orange burst. But otherwise, yeah, I squirted. I flamed. Gave it the eternal flame.
I do really like it. I'm always up for a good bitter drink. So,
and you just lit your finger on fire while you were making it, right?
Yeah, I mean, we're doing this on video. There's nothing below here. Nothing below my nips going on at this point. Just fire.
Just thank you for establishing the Maginot line of your body as the nips. Nothing below my nips is what Alex always says. When you Donald Duck it, you start at the nips, and I appreciate it. You're a half shirt man now and forever.
Yeah, crop tops, can't lose. I'll come up with something catchier by the end of the show. So yeah.
That was from Friday Night Lights, right?
Crop tops can't lose.
Full eyes, crop tops can't lose.
Coach, say something inspiring. Crop tops can't lose.
And honestly, that if you were a football coach for a hard scrabble Texas high school team, I'd be like, that's what you would say.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, another thing to talk about, last week on the show, when you guys weren't here, we prompted folks to leave us some comments on iTunes, specifically asking us a question there and that we'd answer something in the show. We didn't get one with a question, but I do want to read a new iTunes comment, which is very nice. Ooh. So not to plus us up too much right here at the top of the show. But this is from Blue Rion 1980. I love this podcast and wish it was twice as long. Alex is a great host, but more importantly, a great straight man for Justin and Pete, who are hilarious when they bicker. It might be the podcast that gets the most genuine laughs out of me. Also, they will keep you up to date on all the hot comics and review some smaller indie stuff. They have definitely turned me on to some books I might not have even known existed if they hadn't brought it to my attention. Definitely recommend Blue Rien 1980. Thank you so much for the comment. Now, for all of you out there, like I said before, leave us a comment on iTunes. We have an audience question section in the show every single week. Leave us a question there, and we will read your question here in the show. We would love to have you do that. So, yeah, there you go.
Please leave the comment. And honestly, when you do it, how about this, Alex? I'm going to throw this to you live.
Ooh, live pitch.
If live pitch, these are the best. If you throw, you could recommend a book in your comment, and we will cover it. We will cover it on the show. We will invent a new segment, probably replacing Pete's trivia thing that he's done, and do a special review of your commented comic, no matter what it is. Let's do it. It's time we shake up the format.
What if they comment with the same comic every single time, and we end up having to review the same comic 15 times in a row?
My review will change. I'm pretty arbitrary.
I like
with my
it.
Thoughts.
I don't like it.
Yeah, I like it. I don't like it. I like it. I don't like it. I shoot from the hip when it comes to journalism. And again, as always, we are journalists, no matter what our third journalist host.
I believe actually he's on a journalism retreat is what's actually going on right now.
That's right.
He's chasing out a lead.
We asked him to review a book. He was like, I'll get to the bottom of this. And he's chasing down Grant Morrison.
Disappeared for 2 weeks. Wild. You know what else is wild?
He's finding his inner Wolverine, which is much shorter than you might think.
A great YouTube show that's just as edited and scripted as this one. Maybe a little bit more. I'm not 100% sure. But it's called Superhero Diaries, and our two guests this week come from that show. So I am going to welcome them into the stream right now. They are Scott Zakarian, who is the creator of Superhero Diaries, and Don Jeans, who plays Batman. We got Scott here. Scott, welcome. Hello. Excited to have you here.
Where's
Excited
Pete?
To have you on. What?
Where's Pete?
Oh, man.
Oh, wow. Really here we go. With this.
That's what I thought that was what we did on the show.
I mean, pretty much. So, Scott, while we wait for Don to come into the stream here, give us the pitch for the show.
Superhero Diaries?
Not our show. We don't have to pitch our show.
It's three hosts, the best guy who's out on a retreat, start a show.
Okay. Oh,
Shots across the bow coming from Scott.
By the way, if one of you guys was there, I would say it about you. You know.
Of course. No, I'm sure when I wasn't here last week, that's what all the hype was.
Hello, there's Don.
Whoa, look at this.
It's bad.
He's got the whole blue screen going. People, feel free to edit whatever you want on there. Oh,
there he goes.
Here's how you know that he plays Batman is he disappears right in the middle of the
person. I know. We turned around for 1 second and off he went.
So I'll give you the pitch for the show. You tell me if it's right. It's basically a scripted show involving superheroes both from the DC and the Marvel Universe who interact in a very mockumentary style. And none of them are specifically the characters they're supposed to be, though some of the costumes may look very familiar. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, it's parody. So Don plays Batman. And and Don is a neurotic, emotionally disturbed because of his breakup with Catwoman kind of Batman. So there's all the love triangles you expect from good drama, and none of it's actually serious. It's all absurd. The things we do, you know, I don't know if you guys saw Don's Nightmare, Batman's Nightmare.
Yeah.
For example. Yeah. You know, I mean, that doesn't happen every day.
Well, so talk about the impetus for this. And when, I know you're saying it's parody, but how do you get around this? How do you get around using the characters, using the costumes, everything? Yeah.
So my partner is Robert Benton. Right. And he is he's a lawyer, and among those things is contract and copyrights. So he knows the rules hard.
That's the way.
It's the same thing as like, how does Saturday Night Live do it? You know, I've seen several sketches where they've created their own superhero or these superheroes. It's all parody and satire. If anybody looked at this show and took it seriously, then I can't be political, but if I were, you might know what I was going to say.
Well, you guys are journalists too, right? Just like us?
Yeah, we actually go to the real superhero's house.
Documentaries.
And Don, we had the trip to Amazon. We're one of the rainforests.
Look at that. Oh,
that's great. Well, Don, can you talk about how you came on board as Batman and what your approach to the character is?
Hey, guys. Sorry about the glitches. I'm just an actor.
That's why it's the blue screen.
That's right. Well, Scott and I worked together way back on some other projects called Model Ball, Upstairs Guys, Downstairs Girls. And Scott's been doing these webisodes for so long. And he called me one day and he said, "Hey, man, we're doing something else. Can you do a voiceover for us?" And I said, "Absolutely. Let's do this." And he said, and I was on I don't know if you remember, Scott, and I've told the story a little bit. I was on a hike at the time. And he's like, "Can you do it in an hour?" And I was like, "Let me get home. Let me get home." And I'll do it. So we did the voiceover for it. And then Scott said, "Hey, man, listen, we're going to do this. You're Batman." And I was like, "I am so into it. Let's do it." What I didn't expect was to have so much fun doing improv. And a lot of the things at first in the first season were scripted and they were very well done. And then Scott was kind enough to let us do a little improv along the way. And I feel like it's had a great evolution with this season two and where it's at now. I think we found our rhythm and our pacing, and it's going really well.
But Don left out one part that I have to mention, is that 7 years earlier, I had an idea for after Christian Bale flies into the abyss, Batman has to retire and Catwoman's feeding the house. 7 years earlier, I called this guy and said, "Do you want to play Batman?" And the fact that he's still playing Batman, I figure, well, Ben Affleck's older than him. So he was, and then I found out that Don, this very busy working commercial actor, which is why he has that blue screen behind him.
Yeah, look at that's a beautiful blue you have there.
Great.
Yeah, so thank you guys. And the reason why is I'll give you a quick tour is because this room is set up for the lighting and the sound. And so when I do stuff in here, it's like I got the things on the walls and the lights.
Wow. Let me do this
bomb lighting, you know? Let me do it. I got my blue snowball here ready to go, you know what I'm saying? So I hear you.
You look amazing. I'm in the same situation. I got all of my junk over here. I got my washing machine over here, just finished a cycle. Like I'm in it too.
And again, not to go back to what we were talking about at the top of the show, I can't actually move this around because I don't have anything below this.
Again,
point.
Below it's the just, nips.
I exist in here, and that's
below
it.
The nips.
I do have a comment on your question before, if I may. Oh, Don, yeah. You're talking. Sorry, we always do that to each other. On your question before, the other thing that we're there for is to make fun of pop culture without being political, especially the multiverse. Because the multiverse is, I guess anything can happen now in comic book world. So we think this is a really fun time to help promote it. And so this is, we're calling next season the multiverse of the multiverses.
It sounds like you've been shooting this during COVID over the past year and a half or so. What has that experience been like? Fun, I bet.
I mean, yes, fun.
Sure.
It's frustrating when you have to have actors who didn't go to school for this have to. I mean, Don's a very busy commercial actor, by the way. He's also the Budweiser man. We can talk about that later. But yeah.
I'll sell too much.
I forgot what I was going to say now. See, that's what happened.
Oh, I was just going to say, I'd love to grab an ice cold Bud from the Bud Light Night.
Oh, no, that was the 2013 through 15 Budweiser Super Bowl commercials with the puppies in the closet. Okay. I was a moving prop. They were very nice to let me just kind of stand there, and they were like, do this. And I was like, oh, okay. And it went somewhere because of the wonderful direction and people. But you were saying, Scott, directing actors from afar, and I have to, before he gets into it, kudos to Scott for directing actors in different time zones with different setups and getting all the footage together and making it work.
The question is, did we make it work? See, sometimes, first of all, Don's genius, okay? Second, I'm like, I know he's a serious actor. I know he's funny. He puts on the Batman mask, which I hope you brought with you. It's the most bizarre transition I've ever seen in my life, right? So right away, I knew we were onto something. And I think we have our original cast, the five original cast members were great improv artists. You know, we have Patrick Bristow, who I think is the best improv artist that there ever was. And he acted with Don. And I know Don has a lot of reverence for Patrick Bristow, who's originally Groundling, is on a show now. And Don's like, I just reacted to Don. And that was it. So doing these things were interesting, but the technical aspect of it was such a pain in the ass. And trying to mix the sound and work in green screen, it is easier to go live on location. But I didn't want to wear a mask and die.
True. That's the mask. It's a mask is a dangerous thing, I think. Yeah, Batman would attest to that.
Yeah, he had the wrong place, though.
So, Don, was there a specific Batman that you were calling on in particular for your portrayal, or was it kind of your own thing?
You know what? I've let the cat out of the bag for this one. It wasn't a particular Batman. Now, Christian Bale's voice was what I used, because everything he's talking like this. And it's like, you're clearly affecting your voice, but he made it work somehow. It was really good. But my character is more like Ron Burgundy as Batman.
Mm-hmm.
From Anchor Guy, like the Anchor Guys. And like, I'm like, he's, it's a little bit of the original TV series. He's haphazardly getting things done. But this guy's a little bit more of like a misogynist and like has no business being as confident as he is. And then he's also going through like these emotional changes where he's like realizing why he's been so mad for so long fighting crime. Because in the real world, if you were just out there being a vigilante, something happened to you. Something really bad. But he's like, this is maybe who's been through a little therapy, and he's like realizing it, and he's like breaking down, and then he's doing things and he's breaking down again. So that's kind of where that Batman came from.
If you guys at some point, do you have the mask?
Man, you really want him to wear the mask, Scott.
He's so,
a lot of pressure to put on the mask.
I'm sorry, I'm taking over your show. I shouldn't do that. It's my problem.
No, it's fine.
My wife.
All right, now that Don's gone, let's talk about him. I'm kidding. Scott, while he is gone, I do have a question for you about the second season of the show. So you've seen pretty explosive growth in terms of the traffic, at least what I can see on YouTube from season one to the recent season two. What do you chalk that up to?
A couple of things. We did a lot more promotion. We did a lot more advertising. We did a lot more social media. We basically just did, and then we also are able to, at the very top of the video, show action, right? So you got to grip them in the beginning. So I was able to find ways in this thing that was very hard to do, obviously, with somebody standing around, as active as Don is. You know, we're sitting there in a, you know, size of a box. So we had like a scene where Batman is having an argument with Catwoman. Don couldn't hear. He's in L.A. She's in he's in Texas. She's in L.A. They had to be on the same set talking to each other on a rooftop. You know, it's interesting, but it takes a hell of a lot of work. And the reason I thought it'd be easier is like every time I watch anything behind the scenes of a Marvel movie, it's just a bunch of guys hanging around in green blocks.
So let me ask you, obviously there were so many difficulties, but was there anything that that you had to change through COVID that actually felt like, oh, we would have never made that decision, and that was really cool or interesting that we found that particular thing?
It is doing this and doing our podcast before this, a show called Rideshare, is so interesting. The things that you learn about filmmaking, there's no question. If you ask me again, if there's another pandemic, God forbid, do I want to go back and do a show like that? No way. It's too hard. It takes too long. The ROI isn't good because you end up spending, you know, too much money on the videos. So no, it makes much more sense for us to get out there and shoot it like it was a film. We have the best actors. Look, put anything I do aside, Nina Tarr, great comedian in New York, and VJ, Phil Lamar, one of the groundlings, also the voice of Green Lantern. You know, through the whole thing, we had this cast that we went SAG too. I think that makes a difference. If we didn't do the same things in some other projects in the shows. You know, and I would, half the cast would not have done it if it wasn't safe.
Yeah. Don, not to pimp you out, do you have the Batman mask handy?
I do.
Oh, okay. May we see you in the Batman mask.
Sure. Well, it's not the mask.
Oh.
What is it? The cod piece. May we see you in the cod piece?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How are you? There we go. It is. That is a pretty good Batman. What are we calling it? What are we allowed to call it, Scott?
Head. It's a parody.
It's a good head.
Homage.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway.
So do you feel like, Don, when you put that on, does that... Picking up? Does that immediately prompt the voice? Like, is it impossible to put on the mask without suddenly being like, I'm Batman?
I cannot come out of character while I have a mask. Can't do it. It's impossible.
I like the mask with the shirt. Looks like you're about to just go hard at nine holes right now, and I appreciate Batman.
This is Batman golfing. Yeah. All right, I'll tell you what we're gonna do. We're gonna go have like 15 brewskis. We're gonna hit on the cart girls, and we're gonna slam some holes. Mm-hmm. Take that as you will.
Oh, that's what okay. I'm saying.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Don't worry, these guys are drunk already.
Yes, pretty much.
Nobody told us we were supposed to bring out all these.
Yeah, I got it. How do you think I stay up all night? Let's do it.
Probably morose about the death of your parents, I would say. That's probably the reason. I'm just going to throw that
out. Alex, don't bring it up.
Sorry, I didn't mean to bring it up. I didn't mean to bring it up. I'm sorry. I mean, I don't know who you are.
Yeah. Oh, far be it from me to numb the pain of the tragic death of my parents with chemicals. You guys are something else.
Sorry, you know? Batman.
To be fair, Batman, Alex brings that up. Alex brings that up with everybody. It's not he's every just guessing.
Every guess.
He's just guessing that you might.
This is the first time it's hit.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
You have a lot of orphans on, do you?
Yeah, this actually started as a podcast to try to track down orphans and then eventually morphed into a comic book podcast.
Track down orphans, he says. Well, okay.
Then kudos to you, because you nailed it.
Yeah.
You absolutely nailed it. Yeah, just angry orphans all day. Just a line of angry orphans lined up for a podcast.
That was the original idea for Annie, actually.
Was it?
Yeah, Line of Angry Orphans.
Wait. Oh, I thought you were saying Annie started as a podcast. Yeah. And then they started singing.
Blue Apron will come out tomorrow. They're our sponsor on this podcast tomorrow.
Yes. Funny story.
We'll make it our own.
So backstage, and she was like, I'm just an actress. And I was like, you don't even want this. I kicked her straight in the gut and ran out.
Oh, wow.
That's rough.
Yeah.
You're on the daddy warm-up side. Yeah.
Yeah.
Scott.
Yeah, take off the goddamn mask. Thank you. So who's Edward here? He's pretty funny. Edward's like, where did Don go?
No. We have some great audience members. Scott, I did want to ask you, so you are teasing up the multiverse for season 3. Where are you on that at this point, production-wise? Not to put too much pressure on you.
Development. Right now, development, trying to figure out. We want to get some fun stunt casting. This is the season. It's sort of a takeoff also on when Superman is missing and he comes back. Mm-hmm. So this is, and then in the Zack Snyder version, maybe Batman is the villain in the next season. That was that's what we're developing. He's got to reveal a secret identity, which he's going to do in an episode. So,
ooh.
All right.
Don's very going cool. Home.
And people can check it all out at Superhero Diaries. Is YouTube the best place? Are there other places to check it out?
YouTube's best place, but just superherodiaries.com will get you there.
Awesome.
But yeah, right now, every episode is up for the season. So it's just ready for a binge, starting with the Phil Lamar episode.
Perfect. Guys, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Awesome.
Don, I'm definitely going to Photoshop you into a bunch of weird stuff. So thank you for being on that blue screen.
Yeah. Great backgrounds possible here.
But thank you guys really so much. Have a good night.
Thank you. We'll be watching.
All right.
Later, guys.
All right, there we go. Once again, that was Scott Zakarian and Don Jeans from Superhero Diaries, which, as they mentioned, you can check out on YouTube or go to superherodiaries.com. That's awesome. And folks, we are going to move on to our next section, which is my favorite section, because you all make it up. It's your audience questions.
Oh, yes.
And for audience questions, you can ask your questions one of three ways. The first way, as mentioned earlier, leave a comment on iTunes and we'll answer a question there. Can't do that today because that hasn't happened yet. But ask a question over on Crowdcast. I see a couple of those coming up already. Or if you're watching on YouTube, drop a question in the comments. We'll answer it. It can be about absolutely anything. But before we do, Justin, it is time to turn it over to this week's sponsor.
Yes, let's do. And just as you're coming up with the questions, remember, we already covered the question, where's Pete? So you don't need to ask that particular question again.
But I'll tell you what, I have a question. Are you having a pube problem?
What do you mean? I have them, and that's a solution.
What, would you like to not have them?
In some areas, yes.
Okay, well, then you might want to turn to this week's sponsor, which is Manscaped, with the new Lawnmower 4.0 and the Performance Package 4.0, which is a whole pack of things from Manscaped. Isn't that cool?
That is cool. Because if you want to solve your publum, you want to turn to Manscaped.
Publum. Did you? Was that in the script or did you just come up with that?
Nope, that was something I just said.
Oh, that's really good.
But I'll tell you what, the beauty of doing this show is when I say it, it becomes the script.
Oh, that's very nice. So the Performance Package 4.0 comes with a bunch of different things that you can check out. The Lawnmower 4.0 that we've talked about lots of times. It's got lots of bells and whistles to help you keep all neat down there. But you're also going to get the Weed Whacker Ear and Nose Hair Trimmer, the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant, the Crop Reviver Toner, Performance Boxer Briefs, and a travel bag to hold your all of those things in there. Now, do you think all those things? Do you think Pete packed them all in his travel bag for his Pete Springa?
Well, that's he got that travel pack and that prompted this trip. Like, this was a manscapation.
Yes, he's scaping himself across America is what I heard. Going to different cities, visiting sites and manscaping himself.
There's going to be a lot of shots of Pete scaping in front of Mount Rushmore. Pete scaping in front of that big
arch.
Yeah. So that's what you wanted us to do, right, Manscaped? Send you those photos? Email you those photos.
We'll post them on Twitter at Comic Book Live. My favorite one, I got to say, is the picture of him on the Golden Scape Bridge.
Recently renamed and rechristened by Pila Page.
So, as mentioned, it comes with all of these things. The Lawnmower 4.0 is a fourth-generation trimmer. It's got advanced skin-safe technology, 7,000 RPM motor. But the Weed Whacker is also pretty cool. 9,000 RPM motor, powered 360-degree rotary dual-blade system. You could stick it up your nose and get it nice and clean.
Safely. But what it comes down to is get 20% off and free shipping with the code FANSIDED20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code FANSIDED20 at manscaped.com. For a clean Trinity and beyond, your space balls will thank you. That's what we say.
No, we're not allowed to not read that, even if we riff on the
episode. Doesn't quite make sense in some ways. But what does make sense is manscaped.com and traveling around our great nation, manscaping all the while.
Yes. America. There you go. Fritz out for a second there. Great. We got a couple of questions.
Honestly, Alex, America, there you go, is basically the motto of our nation. So I appreciate it as something.
What's happening? No, we're not sure. All right, let's get to some questions here. This is from Edward Doherty. What is the meanest thing telepaths on superhero teams like Professor X and the Martian Manhunter have overheard about themselves?
Ooh, wow. This is a real drama-based question.
It is interesting to think about how, I mean, Professor X is a jerk, right? But he's pretty...
We're saying that as if that, I feel like we've taken on Pete's opinion on Professor X. I don't think he's a jerk per se. I think he has now styled himself as a person who is beyond smaller, all of his friends, basically.
Right.
He doesn't care about his students.
He's a human lollipop, which is the height of evolution.
Again, that's what Pete says. No. And you've become the Pete.
What I am saying, though, is that telepaths like them are often depicted as very reserved, very interior, very like, I'm going to take my time and I'm going to think about this. Are there any telepaths that are just super petty, pissed off all the time and are like, you said that about me? You said that about me?
I mean, I think maybe that's something you go through at an early phase. But I got to think there's a lot of like Martian Manhunter has got to be getting it coming and going. You know, because everyone's like, oh, Martian Manhunter, he's from Mars. Like, yeah, I feel like they're thinking like, green. Green guy. Yeah, like, they don't know quite how he works. And they're like, why put a shirt on? Like, why are you wearing
this? Then the Border Collie says Emma Frost for sure. I think, yes, of course. She's always lashing out at people. So she's definitely listening. Or they could just go and do a podcast and say it to each other's face.
That's what we do.
Go over to Kevin, who says, what's something you actively resisted that regretted not getting into sooner? My goodness.
Oh, this feels
very
like a question.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Actively resisted that regretted not getting into.
Huh.
I mean, I don't know how much I actively resist. Doctor Who is something I actively, I guess, resisted. And I got to say, the episodes I've watched of Doctor Who, I'm like, oh, I don't quite know what's happening here, and I would know that
if you it really starts to heat up around episode 500, so you gotta kind of like stick through that and then you're gonna get it.
Good Perfect way to spend my weekend,
man. There's something that's on the tip of my tongue here and I'm not remembering what it was. I think there are things in comics, like we've talked about this a lot on the show, but things like the Punisher that it's just I don't like, and I'm not into, and I'm not interested in, but every once in a while I'll read something and go, oh, this is a really good run on this book. So even if I don't like the character, I really do like what the creative team is doing, and that sucks me in a certain way.
That's good. A quick comment from Eduardo. I think Justin might have made fun of Pete for hyping up Headlopper at first, but then really liked it. That's fair. I may have made fun of Pete for liking a comic book called Headlopper because it's the most Pete-titled comic book of all time. But I do love Headlopper, and I think it's a great book. I'm the number one fan of Headlopper on this podcast.
Yeah. And Jolene over here says, where do I get into Doctor Who? Is like, how do I get into comics? That's correct. You start with Watchmen. That's the first thing that you have.
Wow. Blankets.
Moving over to Stray Bullet. If you could make Pete like any... Well, this is all about Pete, you guys. Come on. He's not here. This is me and Justin's time.
Yeah, if you could make... Get a personal with us.
If you could make Pete like any comic and he was powerless against liking it, what comic would you want Pete to like? 100% Spider-Man. Just that is the one that breaks my brain. Like X-Men, it's fine. I understand. It is not for everybody right now. I can let that pass by. Other things that he's been sitting on for 10 years or more, it's fine. But the Spider-Man thing is like, get past it. There have been enough stories at this point that have been good that you don't need to hold on to this one grudge from over a decade ago at this point. So that would be me.
That's a good point. I think I would flip the question to answer it in the opposite way. I would say one comic that I think Pete could take a break from to expand his horizons would be The Punisher. Because there have obviously been a lot of great creators on The Punisher, but I do think those stories always follow a very similar track. Mm-hmm. So I think taking a break from that, I think, can only get you out of that cycle.
Yeah. Let's move over to YouTube for another question here. This is from Nelson Martinez. Are you guys excited for the new episode of Stargirl? I recall Alex having the interview with Mikey and him hyping up episode 6. And after the last episode, I can see why. What do you expect? Thoughts on season overall? Well, I'll mention our Stargirl podcast will be going up at 9 p.m. tonight, where you and I will be recapping that.
Yes.
So we got to get on that. We got to wrap up this show.
We
so
should we do that. Mm-hmm. We should do that. We can just record it to another microphone over here.
Yeah, we'll just do it over here. We'll do both. We'll do it with our little side mouths.
Yep. Good one, Mikey. Oh, yes. I think the season has been good. Like, I feel like this show goes back and forth from some of the CW shows, like cheesiness, to some really like sort of hardcore comic book darkness. And that tone, I sort of like the way it flips back and forth. So I like the way the season, I feel like we're getting toward the more intense plot points. I'm liking them.
Yeah, it definitely feels like it's been ramping up as it's going. It hasn't been quite as intense out of the gate as the first season, but I do feel like it's been getting better every episode as we've been watching it. I'm excited to see where it goes in the second half of the season. I think it would be cool. It's a fun, it's like you're saying, it's a different show than the other Arrowverse shows. It has a different tone to it. It feels purposely more 80s, early 90s movie. That's fun. I like it. It's good stuff. If you're not watching it, check it out. Also, check out Star Guys, our Stargirl podcast, if you haven't done that.
Yeah. I hope the episode tonight has a decidedly 80s tone to it.
I guess we'll find out when we watch it live here on this podcast or whatever we're doing. This is from Jolene. Edward Doherty says, longest hour quarter ever. Guess what? Considering DC Comics has had like a multiverse of multiverses now and even before, do you think they will ever try and create comic book versions of some of the Arrowverse shows like Sarah Lance, Alex Danvers, and Thea Queen? Sarah confused would be the most because I would think a pansexual time-traveling misfit seems like something easily translatable to comics. I definitely agree. They moved Felicity Smoke, they changed her character so that she was a lot more like the Arrowverse version. And at different times, they've certainly given Oliver Queen beards that kind of look like
his TV cooler beards.
Yeah, it's about as close as they come. They'd be like, yeah, it's not the TV version. He just has like, you know, sort of a close crop beard.
A human beard as opposed to the goofy actual Green Arrow beard.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like it is funny to me that DC doesn't do more to adhere to the Arrowverse, something that is very popular when the MCU sort of backs into the comic books a lot with a lot of their projects, if nothing else than just featuring those characters much more when the show or movie's coming out. So it's strange, and I feel like it's a mismanagement of what they're doing.
Well, particularly to the point that you're saying, given that there are so many different universes in the DC universe, they could legit have Earth 36 or whatever it is the Arrowverse Earth. So it doesn't necessarily impact.
No, Alex, that Earth is very important. That's the one where Batman has a different, he wears a hat. And it's really like important that we preserve. Yeah, he wears a fedora, and it's important that Earth 36 continues on as the fedora verse.
Well, I remember back in the 1930s when I was reading the fedora verse, and it just really meant a lot to me. They just straight up killed people with guns all the time, and that's the way it should be.
Great takes. I mean, truly, having a full-on Arrow corner verse, I think, would make a lot of sense, where it's not even Green Arrow isn't there. It's just Pete getting to talk about his opinions.
Comic book form?
In comic book
20 form. Pages of Pete talking about Arrow. I'll go pitch it by, well, I was about to say Dan DiDio. You know what? I will pitch it by Dan.
You're a couple years old on that. But let me say, it's ironic to me that a Pete's Arrow corner comic would be one of the comics Pete would hate the most, because it'd be mostly words.
It's also all zero issues.
No, exactly.
I did some weird zooming thing. This is from Eduardo. What is your favorite comic that Pete introduced to the show? Come on, guys.
Wow.
Come on.
Favorite comic that Pete introduced to the show? I mean, Headlopper's up there, I think. I mean, he's always been the champion of Usagi Yojimbo. Murder Falcon, another good
like
anthem.
That, but I appreciate that he sticks with it.
Yep. You could say that about a lot of Pete opinions.
Did he introduce Murder Falcon, or did we introduce him to Murder Falcon? I don't remember on that one.
I don't remember on that one.
I don't know.
A lot of people giving a lot of credit in the comments.
He did not introduce us to Lock and Key or Ice Cream Man.
In fact, Ice Cream Man is almost the opposite of a comic Pete would be like, yo, you got to check this out. It's depressing and dark.
Yeah. In fact, most of these comics I had Pete, he's like, why are you making me read this shit? And then a week later, he's like, I love it.
I feel like we're getting really trolled in this episode, both in the questions and the comments of people. really coming for us here, as if Pete was some sort of originator of a lot of big ideas.
Yeah, I mean, now that they mention it, they're talking about this a lot of the comments. I do remember that back when Pete was a baby, his first words were, Murder Falcon! So that was probably him first. But since I was his dad and I taught him how to say that, I'm going to claim it.
Oh, yes. Great. In continuity, Pete is the son of Alex.
And we got one last one here that we'll wrap up on this Pete-centric audience questions. This is from Jolene again. When will hashtag Pete the Poodle return?
Great question. Well, I know we talked about Pete as sort of on a escaping adventure, but my money's on him heading back out with his poodle friends.
There was definitely some recent podcast where Pete the Poodle came up. I'm completely blanking on where it was.
Yes, I don't remember either, but it was when Pete, we established Pete as a cat daddy, and his role as dressing up as a cat. So he's out there in the world. And for those of you that don't know, Pete, our third co-host, I don't know if we've introduced too much or talked much about him in this episode, but he is spent a lot of many years as a human sexual dog, which was cataloged in the TV show Preacher, which we reviewed in our podcast Preacher.
Right. That wasn't in the original show, but they came to Pete and they said, hey, Pete, we want to buy your life experiences, your true life experiences as a human sexual dog, and put them into the show. And Pete said, don't mind if I do.
It was his actual catchphrase when he was the human sexual dog. It was, don't mind if I do. And boy, did he. I'm sure Pete will love hearing this in the near future. But I mean, you got to be yourself, Pete. Cheers to that.
Last thing I'll say before we wrap up here, shout out to Ian Fiddler over in the YouTube comments. Says, first live show, longtime podcast listener. Ian, welcome. Very excited to have you here.
Thanks for coming by.
And folks, that is it for your audience questions.
Woo-hoo!
And now here's something we should have checked beforehand.
Yes, we should have, because as we were wrapping up audience questions, I was like, we did not talk about this part of the show.
Nope, sure didn't. This is, of course, trivia.
Trivia, yes.
And for that, we're going to turn it over to one
Beagle
of us.
Page?
Peter Page.
And for trivia, all you need to do is say hand up or me or I want to do it in the comments.
Yes.
Over here on Crowdcast or YouTube. And Justin and I have planned out trivia questions in advance.
Obviously, we're responsible people. And here's what we're going to do. I have, back a couple weeks ago, I had to go out of town for the last 2 weeks, but there was a big flood in Brooklyn, if you remember. And because of that, some of my comics got flooded, and I've been drying them out surrounding me here. So I have comics here. Mm-hmm. I'm going to reach for them, and I'm going to... ask a trivia question based on whatever comic I grab and whatever page I turn to.
Oh, nice. So just say hand up or me or something like that. Now, are you going to do any sort of tribute to something that'll make us really sad? Like the third answers are all a Norm MacDonald movie or something?
No, Alex, no.
No?
I mean, I rarely use the phrase too soon, but that is too soon. Is
yes, 100%. Oh, Edward Doherty says hand up. Let's welcome him into the stream.
Great.
Here to answer some questions, and Justin, I think once he comes in, I'm going to let you take it away. Hello, Edward.
Hello. Hello. Welcome. Great. This is, I'm going to hold up a comic and ask you a difficult trivia question about it. This is a cover of a comic. Name that comic. Name that comic. So I know the answer, the...
What are my options?
The sort of the part where you have to guess. So you have three guesses, multiple choice. This is either The Avengers, A, B, Runaways, or C, Norm MacDonald.
Jack Warden.
Jack Warden.
Jack Warden.
Oh, okay, B.
You're going to go with B, Runaways. That is correct. Yeah. Nice. Let's see, but some of these comics are flood damaged. You know, that's what happens when you live in New York City. It's a backing board. Great. Oh, this one. This comic book, Edward's still here. This comic book is old. how old is this comic? Your answer options are A... this is from the year 2003, B, 1993, or C, Norm MacDonald. John C. McGinley. Again, this is Cyberforce number three, the original run. That is correct. It is B, 1993. This is a comic I have.
Wow.
Can you believe that? This is a comic I have. That's old. I don't know why. A real bunch of old Image comics in this pile. Oh, great. Here we go. This this is a magazine called Time Out. my question is, why do I have this? Why do I have this?
Oh, I could venture a guess. But you want to give us multiple choice?
Oh, no. If you have a guess, I actually don't know why.
You're probably listed in it for a show.
Is it B? It's B.
The answer is B. I must be listed in this.
The C answer was Bradley Whitford. Okay, go ahead.
Yes, C, Bradley Whitford. The answer is B. I must be listed in here for a comedy show I was doing. I must be listed in here from a comedy. That is correct. Edward Doherty, you have won.
Congratulations. Trivia. You've got a $25 gift card from In Town Comics. Shoot us an email at comicbookclublive@gmail.com and we will get it.
I will just say,
yeah,
Pete is normally a little more organized.
Wow!
Let me say, only a little, though. Whoa. Only a little more organized,
yeah,
right?
Only a little.
You know what it is? Check it out. I figured it out.
There we go. It's a listing for Comic Book Club.
Comic Book Club, our young selves. Look at Alex. Doesn't look any different. Pete, remember him? Look, it's basically like Pete's here. Hey, I hate Spider-Man. And then your boy Justin right there.
Amazing. Edward, thank you so much for coming on. Congratulations.
Okay, see ya.
And the third answers were all people from a bunch of different Norm MacDonald movies. I was clicking through IMDb because he's done a lot of great movies.
Great. Let me read this review of us real quick.
Oh, yeah.
So this issue of Time Out came out in, I don't know, a long time ago. Can't even find a year. No one knew Time Out would ever be kept by anyone. This is from 2012. And it reads, after 5 years of consistent weekly shows at the People's Improv Theater, the trio behind Comic Book Club, us, have had their shows picked up by Chris Hardwick's new Nerdist YouTube channel and moved their live show to pianos. And joining Nerdist's other contributing geeks, Weird Al Yankovic, the guys will not only be pulling in page views, but nabbing great guests for the weekly taping.
Ah, those were the times.
Remember? That was almost 10 years ago.
Oh, my God. It is very weird to hear a thing like after 5 years when it has been another 10 years. But
that's right. They were like, look, these guys are established. And now 10 years have since passed.
Yeah. Does that make us more or less established at this point?
We are firmly established, brother. Brother, we are established.
Nice. All right, folks, as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day, unless you're DC Comics, in which case things are just coming out willy-nilly. But Justin, what are you looking forward to? What do you want to check out tomorrow?
Great question, Alex. I'm excited for the issue of Fantastic Four that is coming out tomorrow. I believe it's issue 36, I want to say.
38, maybe?
No, 35. Fantastic Four 35. It's a big anniversary issue, a big story. Dan Slott has been taking his very particular love of the Marvel Universe, which I think is getting more and more rare out there these days, the true reverence for specifically the Marvel comic universe. He's been writing Fantastic Four for a while, and this looks like it's a big, big long retrospective on sort of the history of the Fantastic Four, and I'm very excited. He's a master of deep continuity nostalgia, mm-hmm. and I'm excited to check it out.
Me too. A couple of ones that I want to call out. I am very interested to see how Rorschach ties up in Rorschach number 12 from DC Comics. That should be very interesting. But another one I'm always excited for, just based on how weird and out there it is every single time, is Maneaters the Cursed from Dark Horse Comics. And tomorrow's issue takes the form of a magazine set in the world of Maneaters the Cursed, which...
Yes.
Great. Just great, weird, funny stuff. Very, very good. And folks, I think that is it for this week's show.
That's the show, folks.
That's the show, folks. A couple of people want to thank before we go. We want to thank Scott Zakarian and Don Jeans for coming on. Next week, we're going to have a big show for you guys. Tony Fleeks from Stray Dogs, one of our favorite books of the past year, is going to be here to talk about the new collection. It was a very terrifying but very awesome book.
Our favorite but also scariest books of the year.
Yes. Patrick Kindlin and Marco Ferrari are going to be here to talk about Frontiersman, a new highly anticipated Image Comics book, so that should be a lot of fun. And there's a couple of podcasts we need to plug. Lock and Key Unlocked, our Lock and Key podcast. We hopped on and did a breakdown of the season 2 teaser trailer today, so that's coming back in October. Why the Cast Man? Why the Last Man podcast is now live with 3 episodes in all of your feeds, so check it out at Why the Cast Man. Marvel Vision, our Marvel podcast, every week we're breaking down What If, so you can check that out on Wednesdays.
Fresh Riverdale, What If coming tomorrow.
Riverdale After Dark Wednesday nights, that is also fresh Riverdale this week. Star Guys, our Star Girl podcast, is every Tuesday night, very soon after this taping. Patreon.com/comicbookclub to support this show. iTunes, Android, Spotify, Stitcher, or the app of your choice to subscribe, follow, and listen. Reminder, leave us a question in the iTunes reviews. We'd love to ask them, answer them on the show. At Comic Book Live on Twitter, Comic Book Club Live on Instagram, comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Good night.
Good night, guys.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.